Good morning, Bobby. Happy Valentine's Day.
Democratic Governor Laura Kelly has suffered her first legislative defeat, but she seems to be taking it in stride. From the Kansas News Service, I'm Jim McLean, and this is State House Blend, Kansas.
First item of business is House Bill 2197. Chair recognizes Representative Parker.
HB 2197 would amortize the actuarial accrued liability of CAPERS over a 30-year period.
Here's what happened. The governor had proposed refinancing the debt of the state employee pension plan to free up about $800 million, money she wanted to use over the next several years to fund public schools, jumpstart the state's abandoned highway program, and pay for Medicaid expansion.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
But Republicans in the Kansas House voted the plan down.
Opposed nay.
And did it by a wide margin because of the billions it would have added to the long-term debt. Representative Christy Williams of Augusta says the trade-off was just too costly.
At the end of the day, you cannot trade $146 million annually for a few years for $7 billion. We owe it to ourselves to make this hard decision right now and keep it as a priority.
Kelly reacted calmly to the defeat, but she did acknowledge it could make it harder to pay for her priorities, at least down the road, including Medicaid expansion. Still, she's continuing her push to extend health coverage to an additional 150,000 low-income Kansans. Now, if the governor is able to get expansion passed, the responsibility for implementing it would fall to the new Kansas Health Secretary, Lee Norman. The military surgeon and former health system administrator says he's up for the job and says Kelly didn't have to twist his arm too much to get him to take it on.
I said, yes, of course I do want this job. It's a wonderful challenge. I like big challenges.
You're inheriting a program that was launched in the previous administration. When CanCare was first launched, one of the things that people just said right off the top is that privatizing a public service like this and putting for-profit companies in charge of it means invariably that they will be more interested in the bottom line and that care will suffer. You know managed care. You've seen these systems operate. What is your view of that?
I think that people are instantly, reflexly concerned about for-profit companies. They are interested in turning a bottom line. There's no question about that. We won't and cannot know exactly what their profit loss statements are about. That's why we have to say, what do we think is affordable? What do we think is fair? How do we contract for it? And then how do we work with the managed care organizations for them to be transparent, for them to be helpful in understanding the health status indicators for the people that are enrolled in their particular program?
But if properly monitored, if there's proper oversight, then you believe they can deliver quality care to Kansans?
Yes, I absolutely believe that.
Let's talk about Medicaid expansion. The people who have been sitting in your chair for the last several years have been very much opposed to Medicaid expansion. The current governor, of course, is a proponent. You say that you agree with her and think that Medicaid should be expanded to these, relatively speaking, low-income adults, non-disabled but low-income adults. So what is your role going to be in carrying that ball for the governor?
Well, I think that my contribution to it will be that if a bill is passed that allows for expansion, we need to make it happen. I don't know that it's my job to necessarily sell it to legislature. I am absolutely supportive of the expansion bill. It has to be fiscally sound. I'm not naive to that. Again, I have a degree in business administration and have been a senior executive at a large health systems. I have a pretty good feel for making it pencil out. The hard thing, I think, is where is the return on the investment? Let's say we expand to 150,000 people. What is the return on the investment to those individuals who now have access to medical care and a way to have it paid for? And I look at it wearing my public health hat. Is access to medical care a determinant of health? That question has been answered a long time ago. Absolutely, yes. Is early diagnosis, early access to medical care important? Yes. If people are healthy, are they more likely to work? The answer is yes. And a lot of these people, by the way, are already working.
There's that argument, too, that particularly for rural hospitals, that Medicaid expansion isn't the answer, that Medicare, of course, is much more important from a financial standpoint for those hospitals. And yet, every hospital CEO that I talk to, rural hospital CEO, thinks that Medicaid expansion would be of significant help here in Kansas. I mean, what is your view on that, having been in the field, so to speak?
It is a belief that that would be an infusion of resources and money into communities that are struggling with that now. But I'm also quick to emphasize, all over the country, and even in states that have had Medicaid expansion, there's consolidation of facilities. Some small hospitals aren't going to survive. Now, I think that being able to receive care locally, if not in a hospital, but appropriate facility level of care for whatever you need in that community, I think it's really critical, because that's the lifeblood of a community, is their healthcare system. And I think there's no question that expansion would help to infuse money into those communities.
And yet it will be a political dilemma, in the sense that there's still opposition to it in the legislature. And you had said a moment ago that you don't see it as your job to proselytize or lobby, but you will be there to answer questions. And when asked questions by legislators about these things, you will be very direct and honest with them about the benefits you see?
Yes, I will be. And really, the way I see it is that there's two kinds of resistance. One is ideological. Some people just say we should not give an entitlement to somebody who is fit and able to work. And a lot of them are working but can't afford health care. It would be nice to be able to give a break so people can be healthier. The fiscal question is a different one. What's the return on the investment? And I think that it's there, and yet it's hard to put it into a fiscal note. This is the tax revenue that's going to come out of a healthy person.
But you're convinced, just based on your experience, that there will be a payoff of some sort in terms of the infusion of cash from the federal government plus just a healthier population?
Yes, I believe that that's true.
So, as I said earlier, Governor Kelly is not overly concerned about the rejection of her plan to refinance state pension debt. Scrapping it, she says, won't immediately affect the state budget or her priorities.
I think more critical, though, to the funding of our schools and our roads and Medicaid expansion going forward is really for the legislature to restrain themselves when it comes to looking at our tax structure.
But giving some corporations a big tax break, as Republican leaders want to do, that, the governor says, would be a mistake. Mistake or not, a tax relief bill that could be worth more than $400 million over the next 4 years is already halfway to her desk. It's through the Senate, and a House committee is set to start work on it this week. This is State House Blend Kansas. In Topeka, I'm Jim McLean.
State House Blend Kansas is a production of the Kansas News Service, a collaboration of public radio stations across the state. All throughout the week, you can find more news about health, education, and politics at ksnewsservice.org. And of course, subscribe to State House Blend Kansas and add some stars. I'm Amy Jeffries, editor of the Kansas News Service and this podcast. Thanks to reporter Madeline Fox for catching the audio of Governor Kelly heard in this episode. The song Warm Evening by Nameless Dancers serves as our theme, and we found it in Free Music Archive.